Hello, everybody, and welcome to the War Room. This one is for the boxing match. 10 rounds of boxing between Anthony Joshua and Francis Ngannou. We didn't expect this, did we? We didn't expect Francis Ngannou, first of all, to do as well as he did against Tyson Fury, and second of all, to be finding himself in these positions where he's being considered as a legitimate person to beat in the boxing world. I think it's a very interesting move from Anthony Joshua, and of all the people that we're talking about, Francis Ngannou and him potentially being an opponent, Anthony Joshua was not one of them. But I do remember thinking and talking in the build-up to the Tyson Fury fight that, you know, if there would be somebody out there that would suit Francis Ngannou in a boxing match, potentially Anthony Joshua could be that guy. Now, I will say that he's looked very good in his last three fights. Joshua's back on his winning ways, and he's, you know, he's looking more confident in himself again, which is a big key. But that confidence can be undermined when you're taking on such a risk like someone like Francis Ngannou, who is, you know, 0-1 in his boxing career. It's really quite an amazing time we're living in for combat sports, and I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see what we're going to get from Francis Ngannou, what changes we're going to get, what the confidence from the Tyson Fury fight will do for him. Obviously, what the financial benefits from that fight will do for his preparations and his peace of mind as an athlete and he just must be in an entirely different place. I've seen recently the comments from Eric Nixick, his coach, about receiving the money from Francis after the fight and how it was a life changing moment for him. So I just can't imagine what it's been like to be a part of that camp for the past few weeks after the success that they had, and now to be, you know, stepping into another boxing match against Anthony Joshua, a very well respected professional, 27-3 in his record, 24 knockouts, dangerous individual, you know, highly respected boxer, you know, somebody that if Francis is able to, even if he's able to do the same kind of thing that he did against Tyson Fury, it would be another, you know, massive step forward for Francis Ngannou as a professional boxer. Okay, quick tale of the tape. So now Anthony Joshua is listed on Wikipedia and on his boxing rec, box rec at 6'6". Is he 6'6"? I'm going to be interested to see when Francis and Anthony Joshua face off for the first time, because Ngannou's listed at 6'4". And when you stood him next to Tyson Fury, yes, he was the smaller man, but, you know, he was still a very, very big individual. 1-inch reach advantage for Francis Ngannou. Anthony Joshua with an 82-inch reach. Francis Ngannou with 83-inch reach. And this, you know, this might be a game of reach a little bit as well, because of course what we expected from Ngannou going into the first fight, going into the Fury fight, was more chaos, more recklessness, more big swinging power punches. You know, I was fully expecting to see Fury play on that element of Ngannou's game and make him miss and make him tired and then obviously punish him for it. That, you know, I was expecting a stoppage from Tyson around the sixth round, but Francis, you know, he maintained his shape, he maintained his composure, and that was really probably one of the most impressive things about it, because it's difficult to do that against anybody that can punch, you know, let alone someone like Tyson Fury, who is, you know, a big, strong, physical, smart fighter that knows how to open somebody up and put them away. Ngannou did a very, very good job of just not biting on those feints, and you don't get the same kind of game, you don't really get the same kind of feints from Anthony Joshua. You know, there are lots of things that Joshua does very well, but he's not the same kind of problem, in my opinion, that Tyson Fury is. And to be fair, Tyson Fury that we got against Ngannou wasn't the normal problem that you would get if you were fighting Tyson Fury, if you were a Deontay Wilder, for example. I think that would have been a more refined and more prepared version, but still not taking anything away from Ngannou. The things that he did well in that fight stand. You know, it wasn't just a case of Tyson maybe not coming in fully prepared. It was also a case of Ngannou doing an exceptional job against one of the best boxers on the planet. So what do we expect from Anthony Joshua? Well, what would be the smart thing to do? Of course, he's got to negate the power. He doesn't really want to deal with the clinch too much of Ngannou, because that seemed to be something that was a surprise for Fury when they fought. When he locked up with Ngannou, the posterior chain, like the neck and the back muscles, he's just so physically strong that Fury wasn't able to break his posture and weigh on him like he was hoping to. Ngannou is very, very physical on the inside. So that's not really a space where Anthony Joshua wants to be playing with him. Not that I don't think Anthony Joshua is a very strong physical individual, but I do feel like the strength and power of Ngannou is going to be on a different level to Anthony Joshua. I have no real necessary base of saying that, but I don't know. It was the way that Fury was reacting to the way that Ngannou was able to move him around in the clinch. And when he was getting caught with punches from Ngannou, they seemed to be shocking at times to Fury. Maybe shocking because he was getting caught, but that same shot could set in against Anthony Joshua. And another thing that I will say as well, and as I said, Anthony Joshua has looked much better in his last three fights. He does seem to have regained his momentum, you could say. But I don't know as he would be able to maintain his composure if he opens up with a few rough rounds against Ngannou. That's something else to consider. Now, what should happen in this fight is Anthony Joshua should establish his jab. You know, he should stay patient in the early rounds. He's not particularly a fast starter as it is. So it makes sense that he's going to stay patient in the opening rounds, work behind his jab, and not commit too much to anything. Try and get Francis to start opening his game up first. Now, the mistake I feel that Tyson made is that he wasn't busy enough with his lead hand, which didn't really force Ngannou to work as much as he would have liked him to. I think Anthony Joshua's got a very good lead hand. He's got a very good snapping jab, a long check hook, and a very nice lead uppercut as well. That variety could be problematic for Ngannou. So if he's able to work behind that lead hand, but also maintain space, not allowing Ngannou to come crashing forward and stay in the pocket and wait for him, utilize his footwork, again, something that Anthony Joshua's got, he's developed very well in the last few years of his career. Little step-offs and pivots to the side to get him out of danger, out of the path of these big, powerful heavyweights. If he's able to do that, then, of course, there's going to be moments where Ngannou is going to start swinging and missing, and there are going to be moments where Anthony Joshua's accurate boxing prowess will shine through here. But at the same time, he's going to start opening up. He's going to start throwing that right hand. And this is really where I feel like Ngannou, if I'm in Ngannou's corner, I'm thinking to myself, you're going to have to be very, very cautious of the lead hand of Anthony Joshua. But if you can start to draw the rear hand, that's when you can start to pull him off balance a little bit. Like sometimes he does roll over on his toes on that rear foot. And that might be an opportunity for Ngannou to start catching him, when he's potentially not as able to defend himself. But for Anthony Joshua, he has to learn from what happened in the Fury fight. He can't allow the presence of Ngannou to kind of shut his game down. And because there is such a risk in this fight for him, because there is such a... I saw Eddie Hearn the other day saying that it's light work. Absolutely, it should be light work. It should have been light work for Fury as well. But there's only one person that has to get in there and do it. We can all sit on the outside. All us boxing fans, all the Anthony Joshua fans, his whole team and everybody, they can all sit on the outside and say it's light work. And on paper, yes, absolutely it is. But there's one person that has to climb through the ropes and actually do the job. And it's not nearly as light work when you step in the ring and you're facing someone like Francis Ngannou. It's a huge cliff to fall off. And we've seen Anthony Joshua struggle. You know, when he lost to Ruiz, that was a big upset. And it was, that was a person who was well respected in the boxing world, who had pedigree. To lose to Ngannou would be a real cliff to fall off, and that could be very, very daunting for Anthony Joshua. I can imagine when Tyson Fury woke up on fight day, he thought to himself, "Man, this could really, really go very, very south," and it was very, very close to falling apart for him. It's an interesting phenomenon adding Francis Ngannou into this world, because I mean, you look at Anthony Joshua, right? So he had his record as an amateur was 40 wins and 3 losses with 18 KOs. A very, very well-respected fighter. Very experienced. I mean, not even so much experienced as an amateur compared to some other amateurs out there, but certainly as a heavyweight. He's coming in this with, 67 fights? 67-6 if you put his record together. And you can count his amateur record in this because we've got to count Francis Ngannou's MMA record. So, you know, fights are fights in this scenario. 17-3 for his mixed martial arts record, 12 wins by knockout. Do we get a different version of Francis Ngannou this time around? Do we get a more confident version that doesn't have the question in his head that he had in the last fight of, this is 10 rounds, how am I going to feel in the later rounds? If I punch myself out, am I going to get tired, etc., etc.? This is a Francis Ngannou that now has done 10 rounds with Tyson Fury and is going to have some confidence from that. Is that confidence going to make him open up a bit more? Is that going to allow a boxer like Anthony Joshua to punish him a bit more? Are there going to be moments where, you know, the confidence of Ngannou is going to make him throw things that he wouldn't have done in the Tyson Fury fight that may have got him in trouble in the Tyson Fury fight? This is a very, very different circumstance to that. You know, making your boxing debut and having your second professional boxing match, there are a lot of questions that have been answered. This is a walk that he's done. I know it's only once, but it's a walk that he's done. He knows that he can do the 10 rounds. He knows what it feels like to fight in boots with the big gloves in a big arena like this next one will be. It won't be nearly as strange for him, which means he might not be quite as hesitant, which means we might, A, get a more dangerous Francis Ngannou, who's far more willing to throw his power punches, or B, someone that is willing to throw those power punches against someone that he's going to be able to see them coming. Someone like Anthony Joshua, who's got that Olympic pedigree, that's got the amateur experience, that has been in there with some of the best boxers on the planet, that has now recovered himself, working with a new coach, looking very sharp. I mean, that's why we watch these fights, isn't it? Because we really don't exactly know what's going to happen. But I'm very, very excited. One thing that I did make a note of, which I do think is going to be a key for Francis Ngannou, because you look at the fighters that Anthony Joshua has faced recently. So he's on a 3-fight streak. So he fought Franklin, who was small and quick. Franklin was 22-2 with 14 knockouts. He was coming off a loss to Dillian White. He was 6-2, so there's a bit of a difference there. He had a very, very different presence. He was quick. He was problematic because he was small and fast. But there were a lot of things that Anthony Joshua did in that fight that he does in most of his fights that suited him in that fight. Like the overthrowing of the right hand worked well because he was against a shorter opponent. Again, you know, things change. But then he moved into his next fight against Helenius, who was big and slow, 6'6". Anthony Joshua really showed his athleticism in that fight. And the way that he set that fight up, it was a beautiful little sequence to finish because he kept touching his rear hand. He kept punching to the rear hand of Helenius. And it was triggering him because It was like a play on a play, right? So the first play was jab to the rear hand of Helenius to open up the jab to the body. And Helenius got wise to this. So now when he felt that jab to the hand come, he was expecting the jab to the body. So then the next play on top of that was Anthony Joshua going jab to the hand, feint to the body, right hand. And that was the right hand that caught him. And the setup with the double hand pump to open it up was what allowed him to double step his way in and put himself in a position to land that right hand. It was a beautiful punch, really, really nicely set up. Like I said, there are a lot of things that Anthony Joshua does with his lead hand that are very good at setting up that power punch. But if the power punch misses, that's where I feel like he might be most at risk. He's really got to be patient, breaking Ngannou's guard down. And opening him up as an opponent with his lead hand really before he starts to commit. And then, you know, just went off on a tangent there. And then his last opponent, you know, Wallen, was a southpaw. You know, really lovely work in that fight. Did the most of his best work in that fight with his power lead hook. So of the three opponents that he's fought, he's had someone that was small and quick, had someone that was big and slow, and had someone that was southpaw. Against Ngannou, he's got someone that is big and fast and someone that can fight southpaw and orthodox. Like that combination of all those pieces together, as well as potentially moving in angles in ways that some of these other boxers that Anthony Joshua's faced may not. These are still keys for Ngannou going into this fight, still benefits that he has on his side. Switching from southpaw to orthodox, opening up different opportunities for him like he was against Tyson Fury, could be quite unnerving for Anthony Joshua. And I do feel like whatever Francis Ngannou can recover from his MMA style that would be able to transition into this, and the less he looked like a boxer in this, the more it would suit him. The amateur pedigree of Anthony Joshua has given him so much experience around the world against different types and sizes of fighters that if Ngannou comes in and plays boxing, this is really a fight where, you know, Anthony Joshua might start to, you know, show that pedigree, show that level of boxing skill. But I am very, very much looking forward to it. I'm excited that Francis has got this other opportunity. I'm very respectful of Anthony Joshua for stepping in there and opening up this opportunity for Francis to further solidify himself as a professional boxer. And what a world we live in. What's coming next? Enjoy these fights, and I'll see you next time.